Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. We're so glad that we can be together this morning. We really are. And this is going to be a memorable Easter. You know, sometimes we talk about creating memories. We don't always think of it like this. But here we are. We're in a memory that will be told for generations to come. And so this morning on Easter, the current situation has really transformed the way I experience the Easter story this year. I've never really sat with the paradox of Easter fully. If you think about it, death and rebirth, it's paradoxical. Disruption, transformation, it feels like they don't really fit together. And so until this year, we're all forced to be in the paradox of trying to celebrate rebirth while it feels like we're still waiting. But you can feel the tension of that, can't we? And so this morning, I wanted to invite us really to sit with that tension and the paradox of it. But maybe just to begin, we can start with a question. Maybe you can comment in the live chat. But what comes to mind when you think of birth or rebirth? Is there some paradox in there for you? Take a couple minutes to share. Yeah, and even in the answers, you can sense the tension. There's pain, there's freshness, there's some sadness, but also excitement. And it feels paradoxical sometimes, doesn't it? I was thinking through this, and some of you might have heard the story of Ying Ying and Lei Lei. They're the pandas that have been together for 13 years. They live in Hong Kong. And in 13 years, they've never mated. And the park was super worried because pandas are endangered, and they weren't sure what to do. So because of COVID-19, they actually shut down the park in late January. So people stopped coming. And then Ying Ying started flirting a little bit. She started playing in the water more, splashing around. Then Lei Lei started leaving his scent around. So they closed the park in January. And then last week they made it. They just needed some privacy. They were shy. I love that story. So it's kind of embarrassing. I've never wondered about pregnancy times for other species. You guys probably know this already. But you know what the gestation time for a panda is? Anyone know? It's 72 to 324 days. It seems like a really wide range. For dogs, you guys know? 9 weeks. An opossum, 12 days. Terrifying. We're going to have nightmares tonight. Then I started wondering at who has the longest pregnancies. So for a giraffe, it's 1 year and 2 months. So the baby giraffe has to be strong enough to plunge 2 stories to earth when they're born, which is pretty amazing. And then the longest, do you guys know what a frilled shark is? Do you know what it looks like? So before I show you, the frilled shark, their gestation is 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? And it looks like this. This is what a frilled shark looks like. That's real, by the way. And so perhaps this morning, maybe Lent is our spiritual gestation period, preparing us for rebirth, a fuller life, a deeper life. You know, in scriptures, there's different stories of gestation times. For Jesus, it was 40 days in the desert, and he was rebirthed from a carpenter to a rabbi. Moses spent 40 years in the desert. Jonah's 3 days in the belly of the whale, Mary's 9 months of pregnancy, and Jesus' 3 days in the tomb. And it feels like this year we're experiencing this paradox in real time. Like it feels like we're still in gestation and we're trying to celebrate rebirth. We're kind of feeling the tension of that paradox, aren't we? And Mary Carr speaks to this paradox well, beautifully, actually. And she says this: you live in the dark a long time, and the sun comes out. You do not cross into it whistling. There's an initial uprush of relief at first. Then, for me anyway, a profound dislocation. My old assumptions about how the world works are buried. Yet my new ones aren't yet operational. There's been a death of sorts, but without a few days in hell, no resurrection is possible. And so this morning, the paradox is we're celebrating rebirth while we're still in gestation. It feels like we're celebrating Easter, and we're not sure how long our Lent will go for. And so this morning, while we're waiting for new birth, the question we can ask is, how do we respond? What might we be invited into in this season? And so our text this morning is in Matthew 28, and let's pick this up in verse 1. Matthew writes, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. So in the dawn of a new day, when we're getting ready for something new to birth, part of us growing into something new, maybe we, like the Marys, we go back to look at the things that have died. And the paradox is that new life actually comes with grief. We grieve the things we outgrow. We go back to the tomb to visit them. And so we're going to invite Matt and Ira. And so if all the Greenhouse kids are with us this morning, we're so glad that you're with us. And we're going to hear from Matt and Ira. So hello, Inmans.
Hello. Hey, everyone. I'm Matt. This is my son, Ira. And we want to say happy Easter, first of all. And while it's a fun day, our Bible story actually begins with two women who were really sad as they went down to see Jesus's tomb. They were some of Jesus's best friends, and they were really sad when he died on the cross. And so I want to start out with a question for you. Have you ever been really sad because you've lost something important to you? So a while back, we found out that Ira's grandparents were moving to a magical place that Filipinos love, Las Vegas. And Ira's mom told him, thinking he was going to be excited, but it was surprising that it made Ira feel sad, because he wasn't ever going to see Lolo and Lolo's house ever again, especially because of the virus. And this is how it went down.
Paint the picture for us. Mom comes in your room and tells you what?
That Lola and Lolo are going to move. And I was gaming, so I made her tell me it one more time, and I was kind of shocked. So I stopped my game, and I was pretty sad that they were moving. And I tried to forget about it, but it kept grooving on me, and it started to bother me, and soon I got really, really sad about it, because I realized that they were moving out of the house that I've really, really liked the past few years.
What was it like to just cry with Mama? Because I think Mama cried too.
In some ways, it was good for my body. And in some ways, it felt good. Some ways, it was easier to just unleash my sadness.
Like it, sometimes it's a lot of work to hold it in.
So I did it the easy way.
Yeah, that's right.
How wonderful was that? Sometimes the easiest thing to do when we are sad about losing something important to us is to share what hurts with those we love. It's super important. And that is why both Marys went to see the tomb of Jesus that morning. And so we want to follow in their footsteps by doing an activity together. So first, you're going to need to get creative and find a place in your house that you can make into a tomb, right? Just like the one they laid Jesus in. So for instance, we're sitting next to our fireplace, which kind of looks like a tomb made out of stone, right? But you can get creative however you want. Maybe you can make your own tomb from a kitchen table, right? Or maybe a shark pizza tomb out of a bunk bed. Pick your poison. But once you have your tomb, we're going to do two things. First, we're going to write out something on a piece of paper that's important that you've lost recently. And we're going to go ahead and place that in the tomb. And then second, we're going to write down how it makes us feel. And then we're going to place that right outside of the tomb. Okay? So Ira and I both did the activity. And so we want to show you. Okay? So Ira, what are you going to miss about Lolo and Lola's house?
Camping out in Lolo's bedroom.
Yes. They have this massive bedroom, and so when we come to visit, they get a tent out for Ira, and he has like a ball doing it. And so go ahead and let's put that in there. Okay. And how does it make you feel thinking that you're not going to be able to do that at Lolo's house anymore?
Sad and angry.
Yes, and look at that. Angry emoji. That's fierce. Okay? Go ahead and let's put that there. Nice. Good job. I have big family parties. Their house was the place to go for all of our family parties. And I'm going to really miss that. So I'm going to place that in the tomb. And I have for feelings sad and confused. Sad because there's just been so many parties, and I just don't like the idea that they're going to stop. And confused is because I don't know whose house we're going to show up to now. Are we going to go to his new house? Are we going to go to somebody else's? Are the parties going to stop? Right? So I'm kind of confused. So I'm going to place that right outside the tomb. So you can try this at home too. It's a good way to share what's going on inside us as a family. And we often skip over our hurts. But like Iris said, it's just as easy to unleash the sadness. It helps us to remember what's important. And it even helps us learn down the road how to smile again. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Inmans. That's so beautiful. To unleash the sadness. And maybe this Easter, some of us, we're still there. And we need some time before we're able to celebrate. And that makes a lot of sense. And we just wanted to create some space for that this morning. And to say, hey, wherever we're at, that's actually okay. And so in the story, you have Mary, the two Marys, and they go visit the tomb. They're trying to grieve the loss of their friend. And then we pick up the text in verse 2. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, where an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And I wonder this morning if gestation and rebirth, maybe it feels like an earthquake, like the ground beneath us has shifted. It's life-altering. You know, if you think about it, our first birth was actually like that too. You know, Joseph Campbell talks about how we start as a water creature in the womb, and then we're rebirthed on this earth as a mammal. But it took the earthquake and the contractions, and out we came, and our mothers and us, we survived. We were literally birthed into this world. And perhaps rebirth feels the same. And so we're going to invite Jenna to share. Jenna, maybe how has this earthquake shifted the ground beneath you? So we invite Jenna.
I've been thinking about the earthquake in this story as something that has the power to shake loose our assumptions about God and about the story God may be telling through us. And in this earthquake of a season, I've been looking for ways to stay curious about the possibility of God shaking up my assumptions about my life and birthing in me perhaps a different story than the one I thought I was living. And when our assumptions about our lives and what God's doing are shaken up in such an unexpected and sudden way, it can feel disorienting. And when the women visited the tomb that morning, the empty tomb rocked their assumptions about the story they thought they were in. And it's not always easy to stay open and curious when our assumptions about the story we thought we were living are being shook. For the first few weeks of this pandemic, I was pretty curious what this unexpected pause might be offering us. And then I think this past week was week 4, maybe. And by Wednesday night, I just hit my wall. I was not curious any longer. I was just over it. My assumption that things would keep working smoothly were being rocked. And large-scale things seemed like they were going wrong all over the country. And things were breaking down at my house. My internet wasn't working. Things just weren't coming together. And when I sat down to pray, every few minutes, I would look out the window and just sigh and say, God, this sucks. I've been holding onto some rope of normalcy, and that knot was coming unraveled. But one of the practices recently that's been helping me return to curiosity when things are really tough is this question that Claudia offered us last week. What does now need? And so last Wednesday when I was unraveling, I'll share with you where that question took me. So first I made some herbal tea, even though I really wanted something stronger, but I decided that's not what that now needed. And I put some amber essential oil in the diffuser and sat under a comfy blanket. And I was scrolling through my phone and I came across this photo. So I think we have it for you. So this is family dressed in animal onesies and they're holding a sign that says, embrace the suck. And I don't know, it just cracked me up. It shook something up inside me. That moment was like a rolling the stone away moment for me. It rocked my assumption that there is something, some way to help this time feel better or go more smoothly, and there often just isn't. The story we all thought we were living is perhaps being transformed right now. In the middle of a transformation is always uncomfortable. And playfulness and just relaxing into the discomfort is often how we get through it. And in fact, the whole resurrection itself feels a little like that, like we're being invited to smile and laugh a bit at ourselves. As James Allison puts it, we're invited to discover with joy that we have been wrong about God in so many ways. Easter is when we discover that every bit of God is reflected in how Jesus lived, how Jesus treated others, how he loved his enemies, and how he died. And now there's this empty tomb inviting us to stay curious about what may be coming next. And we may not know how this current story we're living will turn out, but we can relax and trust that whatever God's doing in it will be for our healing. It will have been what now needed. So maybe a practice for us this week might be placing a sign somewhere in our space that just reminds us to embrace the suck and remember that the earthquake isn't the end of the story. And the middle of a transformation is always uncomfortable. And injecting a little playfulness and finding ways to relax into it may help us stay curious about how God is transforming the story we thought we were living into something even more trustworthy.
Thanks, Jenna. That's really beautiful. Just a reminder when it's tough, when we're still in it, to maybe find some moments of playfulness. And so let's pick this up back in verse 4. So there's an angel that just showed up, and they're scared. And it says, "For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised. And he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He's been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.'" And I love how Matthew writes this. He says, "So they left the tomb quickly." And how did they leave? With fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And there's just so much fear in this story. And I think we can relate to that. I think in the last few weeks, most of us have experienced fear and anxiety. And it just makes a lot of sense. And know that our fear comes from a really healthy place in us. And I love that in this text, fear is compatible with great joy. Or you could say fear and great joy are paradoxical and complementary. And so we're going to invite Virginia to share a little bit more on this. So what are your thoughts on this, Virginia?
Good morning, Vox. Thank you, Gideon. That's really good to be with you guys this Resurrection Sunday, even if it's virtual. Yeah, so like some of you, I've been oscillating between the delight and optimism of working from home, grateful to have a home to work from, telling myself that this is a time to set my own schedule, find energy for projects or practices I've left undone, to the very human response of worry by such an unprecedented and unsettling moment in our world. Now, I admit my mornings for the past few weeks have not nurtured the most healthy practices of relaxation. It's usually consistent of a combination of devotion and prayer paired with incessant Twitter scrolling. You know that combination of information likened to a diet of kale and Cheez-Its? One is supposed to cancel out or at least dissipate the effect of the other. The constant information gathered on a daily morning citywide call to know how COVID-19 was affecting our city's most vulnerable, to Twitter, to CNN, has led me to often feel overwhelmed. And I must admit the many Instagram captions that read, "Let's have faith over fear, y'all," have left me feeling trapped and weak. Was my faith in God not more powerful than my fear of what our lives might look like moving forward? Like those in the passage we've read this morning, I've had moments of immense gratitude and simultaneously paralyzing confusion over what is unfolding. The story we observe today recounts that Mary and the guards were told, "He has been risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message to you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy. Does that juxtaposition sound familiar to anyone? This paradox reminded me of the way many of us have probably endured thousands of Zoom calls these last few weeks, with an expectation of organization and productivity, while sporting neck-up looks of lipstick and earrings to camouflage the fact that we may not actually be wearing deodorant and the backdrop we've chosen sits amongst dirty dishes and clothes. We are operating in order amongst chaos. It's a lot of work to maintain the facade, afraid that our mess, our disheveled looks, and our anxiety are not welcomed or appropriate in the digital work space in the midst of a pandemic. But I was invited to a different type of Zoom call a few Sundays ago. The calendar invite came from my 83-year-old grandmother. She's made many appearances on my Instagram story, where I often refer to her as Dr. G-Mom. She sent the invitation to 26 other members of my family, requesting we all log on at 3 p.m. for a family service. My first response was that of annoyance. Another Zoom call, I thought, and with these 26 people, ranging in age 15 to 83, and technological savviness, I think we have a photo of my family, somehow learning the art of the mute button is complicated for so many of us. This was surely going to be chaotic, but unlike the spaces of order all my work meetings had called for, ignoring the mess and anxiety taking place behind the scenes, my grandmother invited the paradox of order and chaos, of joy and anxiety, of celebration and loss. Reminiscent of what I imagine it was like to sit in one of her college lecture courses, she opened up the family service with these words, "Family, this is our finest hour. Even in the unknown, I can do all things with him who gives me strength. Believe it and put it into action. Let's give the world hope by seeing us continue to stand in the midst of the storm, extending love even as we care for ourselves. So tell me what makes you scared, but then tell me how you're finding peace. Because we've been given peace, even in our fear, by the Prince of Peace." My grandmother's invitation to our family to bring our feelings to the Zoom call has allowed me to take myself off the hook. And I invite you to do the same today. I invite you to release yourself of guilt or critique of your response to this moment, whatever it has been or will be. Be reassured that God actually does not call us to choose between joy and fear, or disqualify us for our journey in both faith and fear. He understands our human nature, and is with that knowledge that he invites us to be supported in our fear to a place of faith. He leaves room for us to experience both. In the passage, he says, "So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy." In one of the most pivotal moments of the story of salvation, in the midst of a divine visit, they left with an understanding of a promise fulfilled and hope for the future, signs of life and resurrection, and yet through their joy, they still battled with the unknown. That invitation to bring all of our feelings, all of our doubts, all of our celebrations, all of our hopes to God reminds me of my grandmother's invitation to us these past few Sundays. Opening in prayer of thanksgiving for our health, resources, and a legacy of resiliency, and then creating space for us to be vulnerable and without shame, share the fears of being a flight attendant living in New York, a college student unable to experience a graduation, a designer out of work, a Cali wedding postponed, and the unknowns of what life looks like next. But what a relief to know that even in our knowledge of God's resurrection power, even with signs of hope, even with a track record of serving a promise-keeping God, we can hold space for doubt, fear, and anxiety. It doesn't make us weak. It doesn't make us non-believers. In fact, it simply makes us children of God. covered by grace and invited into the shelter of God's arms with our joys and with our fears and every feeling in between. So my invitation to you today, just like Dr. G Mom's, is to give room for every feeling, just like the varied mosaic tiles seen on a Zoom call, knowing that we have faith, hope, and joy in God, even in the midst of our fear.
Thanks, Virginia. Now, I'm kind of impressed that your grandmother knows how to use Zoom and set up a meeting for everyone. And so on this Easter, maybe what this resurrection story is reminding us is to hold on to these paradoxes that actually invite us into more light. You know, it reminds me of Mary Oliver's poem. She says, "We shake with joy, we shake with grief. What a time they have, these two, housed as they are in the same body." And I think this is one of the meanings of our symbol of our faith. This icon of Christ on the cross, it's as if Jesus is inviting us to hold these things that feel like they're in tension, right? Fear and great joy, death and rebirth, disruption and transformation. And you hold these paradoxes, like we prefer to resolve them, but holding them in tension, it feels like a part of us is dying. And we hold on and we wait and we wait till something new is born. Transformation, rebirth, more life, a deeper life, a fuller life. And so on this Easter, I want to leave us with a prayer from John O'Donohue. But we pray this with faith, in hope. This is our longing as we wait in this gestation period. But this is what he writes. When love awakens in your life, in the night of your heart, it is like the dawn breaking within you. For before, there was anonymity. Now there is intimacy. Where before there was fear, now there is courage. Where before in your life there was awkwardness, now there's a rhythm of grace and gracefulness. Where before you used to be jagged, now you are elegant and in rhythm with yourself. When love awakens in your life, it is like a rebirth, a new beginning. And so on this Easter morning, we pray with faith and the compassion of the Father, the courage of the Son, and the patience of the Holy Spirit. So happy Easter, everyone. I'm deeply grateful that we got to be together this morning.